The Life of Gustavus Adolphus, The Quest for Maria Eleonora. I'm going to finally get a bride, but it's going to be complicated. When Rusbeckius urged Gustavus Adolphus, to choose himself a queen, he was apparently ignorant of the fact that the negotiations had for some time been in progress to this end, with one of the leading princely houses of Germany. Admittedly, they had hitherto been kept a close secret. It was to Brandenburg that these approaches had been made, and they demanded special caution, since in view of the very delicate position of the House of Hohenzollern in relationship to Sweden's arch-enemy, they were particularly liable to meet with a rebuff. The Duchy of Prussia, the present East Prussia, was expected shortly to pass into the hands of the Elector of Brandenburg, Johann Sigismund, as heir apparent to the mad Duke Albrecht Friedrich, but the suzerainty over Prussia belonged to the King of Poland as feudal overlord, and a dynastic connection between the House of Brandenburg and the junior vassal line in reigning in Sweden by usurpation, as Sigismund contended, might consequently provoke the latter political reprisals of the most embarrassing nature. On the other hand, it might be argued that such a combination was calculated to give Brandenburg certain advantages in her difficult vassal relationship to Poland, and more generally to act as security against the isolation which sometimes seemed to threaten her. The whole question was a highly involved problem in political mathematics. It could be viewed from more than one angle, according to the direction of the swing of the political pendulum in Europe, and according to the strength of the forces, not always easy to assess, that swayed decisions in Berlin. But from the beginning, it was clear that a marriage between Gustavus Adolphus and a princess of Brandenburg, if it were to be correlated to any common political program, would demand a far more adroit statesmanship on the part of the court of Berlin than Europe had for some time been accustomed or expected from it. King Karl had already given incidental consideration of this combination amongst others, but where the idea originated on this occasion remains obscure, possibly with the Queen Mother, possibly with Landgraf Moritz, who still shared the anxiety of his kinswoman. These, however, are mere conjectures, and against them may be set the fact that the projected Hessian match was still occupying the attention of interested parties when the Brandenburg scheme first came up for discussion in the summer of 1615. It was broached in a way that did not commit anybody. Swedish resident in Germany, a somewhat superannuated and officious person named Burkholz, a Brandenburger by birth, was made the recipient of a confidential suggestion by his friends at the elector's court. The suggestion took on the appearance of being something more than just a chance remark, when it appeared that Johann Sigismund himself had expressed to Burkholz his desire to enter into closer and more amicable relations with the young King of Sweden, whom he had heard to be a skillful, wise, resolute, and valiant gentleman. These communications aroused a certain interest at the Swedish court, though for reasons already known to us, the matter was not considered to be at all urgent, and in due time Burkholz received fresh instructions. It is, indeed, doubtful whether he fully grasped the purport of his commission when he interpreted his task to be that of a matrimonial agent. At all events, he was later ordered to maintain a more prudent reserve upon the topic. In the main, this was political rapprochement that Gustavus Adolphus desired from Brandenburg. The settlement with Sigismund, at which he was now aiming after some years of uneasy truces, made an understanding with the North German electorate appear eminently desirable. In his view, Protestant Europe as a whole was one single community, and that community he felt himself irrevocably bound. However divergent and indefinite its aims might seem to be, he must, for as far as possible, contrive to make them concede with his own efforts on Sweden's behalf. From the point of view of Swedish interests, there was everything to be said for an alliance with Brandenburg, an alliance as close and solid as he would be able to make it. The need for support against his Danish neighbor was a further argument for the same side. So the idea of an alliance with the House of Hohenzollern gradually assumed for Gustavus Adolphus a greater importance as one element in his wider schemes. Toward the end of 1616, he sought the assistance of Landgraf Moritz, who enjoyed some influence through his family connections as an intermediary in this affair. For Gustavus Adolphus himself, it was purely a political question. Maria Eleonora, for from the beginning she had been the only princess under discussion, must at the time been scarcely more than a name to Gustavus Adolphus. office. Still, all reports of her physical and mental qualities gave the most flattering descriptions of the beauty and virtues of the young princess. As a result, Gustavus Adolphus now proceeded to open negotiations. So this is interesting that we finally see him working towards getting a wife. I'll bet mainly because of the political background that is going to come into play. But the interesting thing that we will discover is, you remember the last time he was ready to get married to Eva Brahe, and his mother kept causing all kinds of problems. Well, guess who's going to be a problem in this one? It's going to be the dowager mother of Eleonora in Prussia that's going to be the problem. So we have political issues, we have personal issues, we have family issues. What a negotiation we're going to have to get him a bride. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry, by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry, by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.